Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. This is our pre-New Year's, right?
To the best of my knowledge, New Year's has not happened.
Last show of 2025.
Last show of 2025.
Better make it a good one.
I got to tell you, thank God this year's over. Thank God.
Yeah, not my favorite year.
Oof, bumpy one.
Been a rough one.
Yeah.
So I'm Ken Edwards from the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right, Ed Maher, National Coalition of Labor. To my left, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. And you guys had a good Christmas. It was fun.
It was great.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Not too shabby.
No snow.
And you know what? Yeah, and relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, I went to New York and just it was nice.
And your birthday, let's not forget.
Oh, yeah. It's my birthday.
You turned 40?
I turned the 20th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
All right.
Yay.
Yeah, congratulations.
Birthday.
I will tell you this.
Belated baby Jesus.
In my own defense, I look really good for 60.
You imagine if you went back and told 20-year-old Ken Edwards, like if you pulled him aside between metal shows and told him that he was going to live to see 60, you think he would have believed you?
First of all, absolutely not. And second of all, if you said he was going to be a lawyer and then have be on the radio and blah blah blah, like it'd be like, yeah, that's funny, Stone Ken.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think so.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Well, yeah, you're smoking for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's my past, Phil.
That was your past.
Yeah. My New Year's resolution is actually to start smoking pot again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's legal here. Just legal. For the record,
it's illegal.
That's not true. I'm not doing that.
I heard it's good for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this. Let's, we talked about this last week, and I will say this. Coming up in the new year, I really would like to, one of the things in my kind of resolution for the show is I would like to start to have just a little bit of, like, you know, we joked about barely legal, but some the lawsuits that are really important and that will actually affect people, I think we need to start keeping track of those.
Legal correspondent.
So, yeah, something like that.
Now
like,
hiring.
So if you're listening and you want to be our legal person, come in, maybe do it once a month or something like that, because I think it's important that we keep track of it. There is such a quickly changing landscape.
We got some good lawyers. We could probably do a rotating cast if needed.
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Poss is always great. Nick Hasmer from the Carpenters, bright guy. Yeah, we can get them both in at some point.
I think that's a good idea. Maybe have a bunch of lawyers from
a lawyer
of
off.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Like get in here, prove off. Your worth, and the winner gets an unpaid monthly internship here on the Workers' Mic. In addition to your law,
I got to tell you guys a story. Somebody emailed me and said, "Hey, there's a lawyer that I sit on a board with, and he's from blank firm, and I'm not even going to say the name of the firm, but they are a notorious union busting firm. And he said he would love to come on your show." To give sort of the management perspective or whatever. And I was like, yeah, there's not a cold day in hell that will happen. And so the answer is no. And he's a labor lawyer. I'm like, no, he's not a labor lawyer. He's an anti-labor lawyer. There's a difference.
He's a management
I'll be honest,
lawyer.
Though, in 2026, I wouldn't be opposed to doing that because any of the sort of nonsense rhetoric that those attorneys put forward on behalf of corporations against workers, I think doesn't stand up.
No.
All right, so here's the deal.
Period. Put some sunlight
on it. We talked about
that.
No, we talked about the other night at dinner, like having somebody come on the show that is like a little bit point-counterpoint, but here's the thing.
That thinks we're wrong.
It can't be somebody smarter than us.
I know. That.
You with me?
Like, yes.
It can't be like a Dan Proft.
Well, that wipes
way
out.
Way too smart.
That wipes out most of the population.
Well, this person's going to come in and do their homework.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
We'll do
right?
some screening before we put them on the air, for sure.
Yes. Listen, he who controls the dump button controls the conversation.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Maybe we should have somebody maybe from, and it doesn't have to be a lawyer, right? It can just be somebody that is anti-union or thinks that capitalism is working great or that, you know, or that the economy is good, whatever.
People
right?
should sure. work till 80.
Yes.
Let them back that up, and I am confident in knocking that down.
Yeah, we need more child workers in the plants, you know.
Child labor advocates.
Yeah, some of those folks. That's a good idea, huh?
Show them a picture of little Timmy, poor little kid.
Yeah. So, anyway, that is that's something I think that we need to do for the new year.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Any New Year's resolutions for you guys?
Continue being awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not what your wife says, but that's cool.
We didn't ask about her New Year's resolution. She asked about mine.
I'm going to try not to use the horn in my car.
Are you a horn? You're a horn guy?
I use my horn all the time.
Do you really?
I always say to my daughter, she'll be like, "You use your horn a lot," and I'm just like, "It doesn't cost money to pay. You know, it doesn't cost money to beep. That's free."
You know, who are you honking at?
Everybody and anybody and everyone.
Oh, my God.
It's probably good for your personal safety to lay off the horn, because people are nuts now.
I think you're right about that.
I honk for, you know, like, hey, what's going on? Or, you know, honk for many other reasons. But the horn is there.
You do a friendly horn.
They put it in the car, and you paid for it. That's so you true. Might as well use it.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're, like, picking up your daughter or whatever, you're just like,
I might have done that a couple times. She's at that rare age where everything I say, do, or think embarrasses her terribly in front of her friends.
Yes. It's the best. When Evan was your daughter's age, I would just roll down the window and scream, Evan, I love you, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
And he was just like, the look on his face was just so, like, I hate you with a passion.
I've done it in volleyball games where it's like, Emma's number one. She's just like, Dad, please don't.
What's your New Year's resolution?
I'm going to stop rolling down the window when I'm in Uber and yelling at people going, what are you going to do? That's my New Year's resolution. What are you going to do? Get my license plate? Like, no wonder my Uber rating's going
down.
I'm
going to amend my... No, I do want to sort of learn how to, like, code a little bit, if I can. The vibe coding.
Code?
Yeah.
Phil.
I think that was like a 2020 thing. Yeah.
No.
AI has destroyed that.
I want to try to, like, create, like, a website.
Oh, okay. So all right. Like, that's cool.
Interesting.
That's cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
leveling up.
Like you said, read more books, right?
Yeah.
Trying to, like, pay attention to the whole spectrum of the news world, which, by the way, this show kind of forces us to do.
Yep.
Trying to read all sides of things. A lot of it's just pure nonsense out there. Like, just pure nonsense.
Trying getting to cut, worse, yeah.
Trying to cut through some of this stuff. And you know, look, I was sitting at my local watering hole, and a guy sitting next to me was a local two guy, a firefighter. And he's like, you're on the workers' mic. And I'm like, yeah. And so, like, have I insulted you or something? He's like, no, I'm a local two guy. And we talked about the firefighters and, you know, how they hung in there and, you know, stuff like that.
For sure.
So let's, in the new year, let's try and at least once a show have, like, hey, here's an inspiring story, right? Here's something cool that happened in the worker world, right? Doesn't even have to be unions. Like, here's just something cool that happened. Because a lot of stuff goes under the radar, Phil. You know, you guys are notorious for the carpenters, but all the trades do, like, they'll build a baseball field, right? Or one of their members, you know, got hurt and needs a wheelchair ramp.
Right. The ramp thing is a big one.
Right? I mean, we do this stuff all the time, but we never say anything about it.
I know.
You know?
I think to that end, like, if listeners have a story.
That's a good point.
Reach out. We want to hear from you. It's theworkersmike@wgnradio.com.
Say it again?
theworkersmike@wgnradio.com.
That's a good
idea. Send us stories. If you got an idea, you want us to talk about something, you want us to stop talking about something, whatever. We want to hear from you.
Except if you don't like what we have to say.
Well, we're not going to do anything with those, Ken.
So we can make fun of them.
Yeah, those will go in the vertical file.
The circular file.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, listen, we're going to come back in a moment here. And
Phil's going to share some of the best moments.
Is that where? Yeah, okay. So
mostly involving carpenters.
Some of the hits from 2025, there might be some carpenter influence in them. But
just a little.
Just a little bit. Because obviously we had a lot of highlights. And we want to share those with our listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, listen, we'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. I'm Phil Davidson, and as we discussed earlier, we're going to be going over some of our highlights from the year of 2025, some interviews with some of our favorite guests, with some of our most notable moments. So we're going to start off with something that we never thought we would see happen, a new contract for the Chicago Firefighters Local 2. We've had the president of the Chicago Firefighters Local 2, Pat Cleary, in a few times over the years. And after four long years, the firefighters finally got their contract. Enjoy this clip with Pat Cleary.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. What was the vote from your membership?
So approximately 78% responded.
Okay.
73.1% voted it up.
Got it.
The best numbers we've ever had.
The big news is Thursday, the city council finally ratified it on their end. And what does it do? It goes before the city council?
Yes.
And they take a vote?
So it goes to the Workforce Development Committee.
Okay.
They vote on it and approve it, yes, and then bring it to city council at the next meeting.
And then the city council votes, was it unanimous?
No.
I want to see who voted against it.
Who voted against it?
47-2-1 absent.
Let's talk some details. Okay. All right. You secured your members an 18% increase retroactive.
Yeah, and there's more coming.
Okay. Right. So let's talk about it. Just tell me high profile details of the contract.
So they're going to get 2.5%, 5%, 5%, 2.5%. There's going to be 3-5 for 26, which is going to work out to be 3%. Because CPI was 2 point something.
Got it.
So we get guaranteed at least 3.
Uh-huh.
And then same thing with 2027. It'll be between 3 and 5, depending on CPI.
Right.
Okay, so then, and then you had to extend it.
Yeah, we extended it 2 years.
Okay.
I mean, it would have been expired.
Yeah,
when we got it.
You would have signed it, went right back into negotiations.
I would have been back in the frying pan.
Yeah. Nobody likes that.
No.
And then we got a $2,500 stipend as well.
What about the staffing issues?
So the city, we have a thing called manning variances, which is a shortage.
Yes.
So you have a rig, instead of having 5 people, they have 4 on it.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to double that.
Double the variances.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. So I was pushing to reverse it the opposite way.
Right. Got it.
And we agreed just to leave it the same,
okay,
which I was fine with, because normally, especially when you get bigger pay raises, you get those at the expense of something. And in the past, we've lost the number of rigs, or we had more manning variances,
right,
or they took away step pay raises.
Oh, really?
None of that occurred this time.
So you kept everything you had?
Right. We gave up nothing.
Awesome.
With our union, manpower is a big deal, and you need as much manpower, especially in Chicago with all these. We have 1,400 high rises. You need as many guys and girls that you can get on scene. I can't be showing up shorthanded, and you expect me to do my job. It's just hard to do. I'm making 4 people carry the equipment for 5 people.
Well, it's none of that. It's dangerous, not only for you guys, but it's also a little short-sighted for the people that need the services.
Right.
And it's like, hey, I need 5 people to show up. Yeah, today we got 3.
I mean, in many cases where there's been a fatality for a firefighter, or just in a fire, the investigators come back and say that the way to prevent this is by properly staffing the trucks.
Yeah.
And here the city's trying to push in the other direction.
Exactly. And then they proclaim to be on our side. I'm like, well, if you're on our side, you'll give me the manpower and you'll give me rigs that actually work, not rigs that break down.
So now they have to write this check, massive check. But they had said all along, oh, yeah, we're putting the money aside. Don't worry. We got the money. And I believe they spent the money, didn't they?
Yeah.
We had the money.
Now they're getting bonds.
You, oh, dear.
You're joking me.
I'm not joking you.
They're getting bonds.
It's in the budget.
To pay this back pay.
To pay the retro pay.
When they said, I mean, in the newspaper, all this time that they had been socking money away for when this finally got done.
And then the mayor's chief of staff said, Local 2 was the one that delayed negotiations. He said that we delayed it to let the teachers go because we wanted to use them as a comparable. They're not a comparable.
They're teachers. You're firefighters.
But he tried to blame it on us. Like, we wanted to slow roll negotiations. Are you crazy?
We're
already 2 years in.
This is a really important point that you're making, because we've talked in the studio and on the phone with you so many times about why is this taking so long? And for the city to come back and pin it on you when you've been front and center screaming for motion, for movement, for progress on this,
it's
crazy.
They spent the money. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
where's the money?
So they try and blame it on you. Like, there's not a world in which it's in your interest to delay anything. Kudos to you for sticking it out and holding your ground and getting what you deserve.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to speak my word here. I mean, I do appreciate you guys having this show. It's an excellent show. I was going to say something else, but a kick something show it is. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another one of our biggest highlights from the year was an interview with possibly our biggest get that we've ever had since we began the Workers' Mic, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York. The House Minority Leader came to Illinois to speak at a Labor Day picnic down in Springfield, and we were lucky to have my wife, the great Bridget Shanahan, a former newscaster, be down there and do some field reporting for us, and she got to interview Representative Leader Jeffries. So enjoy this interview with Hakeem Jeffries.
Okay, I'm here today with Leader Jeffries in Springfield at the AFL barbecue. And Leader Jeffries, can you tell me what the Democratic Party is doing to win back the working people?
Well, we're going to work incredibly hard to make sure that we meet people where they are and recognize that in this country, when you work hard and play by the rules, you should be able to live a comfortable life. Good paying job, good housing, good health care, good education for your children, and a good retirement. And no one has done more to bring that American dream to life than the men and women of organized labor. And that's why we're going to continue to stand strongly behind our unions.
And we're hearing about wages. We're hearing about housing, making that more affordable. Anything else that you're going to be specifically doing for working people?
One of the top priorities is to pass the Protect the Right to Organize Act, the PRO Act, so we can push back against this aggressive attack on unions that is being led by Donald Trump and his extreme administration. I myself am a product of a working class household. Both my parents have been union members throughout their entire lives. That's one of the reasons why I'm here today. And we want to make sure that the men and women of organized labor can pass along that same opportunity to their children and their grandchildren.
Last question for you. This Labor Day feels especially significant given the current climate in our country. Can you tell me about the meaning for you this year?
Well, the attack on organized labor is unprecedented in modern American history. We've got a pushback. They want us to stand down. We're not going to stand down. We're going to stand up. And so this Labor Day will be an opportunity to, of course, reflect on what has happened during the first several months of the Trump administration, but also strengthen our resolve in defense of the men and women of organized labor.
Thank you so much, Leader Jeffries.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And it turns out there were several luminaries at this event for Labor Day. And in addition to interviewing Representative Jeffries, my wife was also able to stop and spend some time with Representative Dan McLaughlin from the Mid-America Carpenters Union. Dan is one of our reps who covers Lake County and is a very thoughtful person, and I think you'll enjoy what he had to say. Please enjoy Dan.
Can you tell me a little bit about the moment that you knew you wanted to get involved with the union?
I was attending union meetings. I was getting a lot out of it. I was able to network. I was able to, you know, develop friendships, and it was just a great opportunity to meet the leadership that was at the local level, and I noticed that they were involved with Democratic politics or anybody that was, you know, friendly towards organized labor. And since I have a political science degree and a history degree, I just figured I could help out the local by utilizing the tools that I was taught at university. And I was also working summers construction. It was Carpenters Local 363 that gave me the opportunity to shine, and I got involved with political campaigns, parades, engagement at schools as a working carpenter. It was just a great opportunity to use some of my skills and gifts that I've been blessed with to help other people. And I just want people to have what I have, and you know, with the great benefits, the great wages and stuff like that. Why wouldn't I want to share that and give people a message to listen to?
Yeah, and to that end, unions are more important now than ever.
Absolutely.
Tell us about some of the work you guys are doing.
Oh, the work that we're doing is that we're engaging with our current apprentices that are already in the program. We're teaching them how to do outreach to other people that may have an interest in our trade, and it's called Cub Club. Our guy Ryan does a great job. Unfortunately, I can't do Cub Club because I have another union commitment with the Elgin Trades Council, which is a labor advocacy group that works with all the unions, from municipal unions to construction unions to teachers unions and everything else. So the idea of being involved and just sharing each other's gifts and bouncing ideas off of it and collaboration, and those are the tools that we're going to need with these unparalleled times. You know, how we get there and stuff like that, we need one another more than ever. And again, it goes back to, I want to give people the same opportunities and have the same things that I have so we can move forward, move this country forward, to move the local forward, to, you know, just to grow, you know. And if more people have entry into the middle class, you know, we can't lose.
We'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. I'm Phil Davidson. We're going to take this next segment to go back in time a little bit to earlier this year when we held a transit summit. It was myself, Ken, Ed, and several panelists from rail labor unions throughout the city and throughout the county who came on to discuss the transit fiscal cliff, which was a huge, huge issue this year. To bring our listeners up to speed, there was a nearly $800 million shortfall due to lack of funds because of ridership being down after COVID and then stimulus money from the government drying out and running out, I should say. And there was a big issue where, you know, there was concern that trains wouldn't run anymore, that we would have no bus service, that people couldn't get to their jobs on time. People couldn't go see their relatives. People couldn't get to their medical appointments. We were looking at a real disaster, and we talked about it. We had a nice summit over at Stationary Operators 399's Hall. And yeah, great discussion. We learned a lot. And to cap it all off, just earlier, a couple weeks ago, actually, the governor signed a bill that solved the transit crisis. And there's more funding coming into it now. They took some, they diverted some funds from the motor fuel tax that's going to be going now to support transit. So it was a big win for everyone. It was a big win for working families. It was a big win for residents and commuters throughout Chicagoland area. And yeah, it was very exciting to see it all come together. And we were real proud to be part of it. And here is some clips from that event.
What's going on? Big picture, 30,000 foot view. Like, tell us what's happening with this issue.
Obviously, incredibly important issue. And in terms of how we got here, we have to go back 5 years. And it's hard to think about, but there was a global-wide pandemic. And through the course of that pandemic, we saw a decline in ridership, our public transit system. Remote work was always a phenomenon that was going to come at some point.
Yep.
But we saw it happen faster because of the pandemic.
And it wasn't just here in
across the nation,
Illinois. This was nationwide.
What occurred from there, though, is this acknowledgement that this cliff was going to come,
yep,
and that we needed to be prepared. And so the Illinois General Assembly acted. We engaged the CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency on Planning, to convene stakeholders, put together a report. And from there, there's been two pieces of legislation that were introduced, Senate Bill 5 and Senate Bill 1938, different approaches, but with the principle, both of them, that we will have some reforms and also move forward with sustained funding. And we've had 8 committee hearings of the Senate Transportation Committee, over 35 hours of testimony, and we are in the thick of it right now. There's a commitment by everyone, though. We want a safe, reliable, accessible, and integrated public transit system.
Well, we need it. We don't, you know, it's not, I hate to say it, but it's not a want. You know, it's a need.
That's right.
You had mentioned other states. Are you seeing, like, are they doing things that we can learn from? I mean, we don't have to always reinvent the wheel here in Illinois. I think we do a decent amount of times, yeah, but we don't always.
Or other countries. There was a trip to Germany recently, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so, you know, the advantage of, if you want to call it that, of every public transit system going through this situation is that we're not alone. We're able to talk to one another. The disadvantage is there's not a proof of concept necessarily on how best to do it in our nation. To your point, we went to Germany on a delegation trip. We learned a lot. We understood the importance of one fare, one timetable, one network. We understood the importance of frequency, the importance of safety. Those are all ambassadors. Those are all components that we brought back to our conversations here, and that's what we're really engaged in right now, right? We're looking at, for example, the creation of a transit ambassador program to make sure that there are people on the platforms, on the trains, on the buses to help the riders, help the workers with any issues that come up. And so there has been a lot of growth in terms of from where we started the conversation, but it is challenging because we're embarking on this mission at the same time that a lot of other public transit systems are. So we want to get this right, but we also know that we're going to have to continue to work on this for years to come.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're not going to just hit it out of the park and have, you know, the fix is going to, you know, happen overnight. It's going to be a work in progress, I'm assuming, right?
That's right. We're talking about a system that was created in the 70s, early 80s, and there was a certain mindset there, but we're trying to make it more integrated. That way the agencies are talking to one another. We have to remember that the rider isn't thinking about, am I riding CTA or PACE or Metra or RTA? They're thinking about getting to their doctor's appointment,
right.
Their school,
sure.
Their job, right? And so we want to make sure that the experience for the users, the riders, is as seamless as possible and as safe as possible.
Yeah. I think it's an important point, though, because there seems to be confusion just generally about RTA, CTA, PACE, Metro. Like, what does that umbrella look like? Does everything fall under RTA, just to sort of define the affected systems here?
Well, it's a great point, right? I mean, RTA is considered the financial oversight.
What does RTA stand for?
Regional Transit Authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that oversees?
It's seen as the financial oversight entity, right, over CTA, Metro, and PACE. I think the challenge that we've been having, right, is we want to ensure all these items that we care about, safety, reliability, accessibility, want to ensure that they're occurring together. And what's happening to some degree, right, is, you know, we have service plans and capital plans and other plans created separately, and then we're expecting the conversation to happen at the RTA level, and it's not going the way we want it to, right? And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We know that there's 30 different unions that work within CTA Metro PACE that have their own collective bargaining agreements, their own labor management contracts. We know that those workers understand how to deliver that local service and understand the safety challenges and all that. So we want to make sure that that's intact. However, we want to make sure that the agencies are talking to one another, and it's all coordinated. So that's our goal. That's our main goal, integration.
The deadline for the $770 million fiscal cliff is May 31st, right?
May 31st.
What happens if there's no deal by May 31st?
Well, there have been proposals put out that we would have a major, major cut in service. Only half the number of trains would run, and that's crazy. You know, 15,000 workers make sure 1 million people get back and forth to work and school and doctors every day. We cannot let them down. May 31st is so important. And, you know, it's irresponsible to put this off any longer than absolutely necessary. May 31st is the day we need to get this done with the money, with the reforms, and move on so that Chicago, a world-class city, has a world-class transportation system to get people to and from work every day safely. Safely. The Pope rode CTA safely.
Right.
Right. Good.
Amen.
Yes. I like to think about this. You know, Chicago, Pope
yeah.
won,
yeah.
everybody else zero.
That's
Workers'
right.
Rights Amendment, Chicago, Illinois yeah. won, everybody else zero. We started here in Illinois.
Yeah.
We invented the Pope.
That's right.
You're
that's
a great
one of the
conclave.
Yeah.
Penny McCoach, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the folks you represent and why this is such an urgent need for them as well.
I represent about 2,800 members that operate the rail system for the Chicago Transit Authority. And if this doesn't happen by May 31st, I have probably about 3,000 to 4,000 workers that may be laid off. I have routes that may be cut.
Right.
And that's very detrimental to my membership.
Is the legislature looking for givebacks? Are they looking for concessions from the unions? Like,
they have not asked anything as far as givebacks.
Okay.
About that, no. Basically, we want just to do the reforms. We're for reforms. We're for safety. We're for having a seamless system. But we want the money that comes with all of that.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So those were some of our highlights from 2025. We will have much more to come in 2026. Very much looking forward to what all the great shows and guests and stories we'll be telling next year. But before we go, we had another special guest who had been a frequent visitor of the show, made another appearance, the great Timmy, who's going to tell some tales of the scary conditions he's been working under.
Welcome, Timmy, our old friend Timmy from Iowa at the chicken plant in Iowa.
He's back.
Welcome, Timmy. How's it going, Timmy?
Well, my name is Timmy.
Okay, well, thank you, Timmy.
It's so nice that you were able to come in today.
That was really, really nice.
You didn't have to work today?
How'd you get off?
No, I've got one day off.
Well, one day really a year?
Good. Yes.
So how old are you, Timmy?
I'm 3 years old.
Okay. Well, it's a pity they don't let you go to school in Iowa when you're three.
Yeah.
Timmy, let me ask you a question, all right? Do you kill chickens for a living?
Yes.
Do you pluck their feathers?
Yes.
Would you rather be in school?
Yes.
Okay. How many fingers do you have left?
Nine.
That's, I mean, nine out of ten ain't bad.
Yeah, that's 90%.
I've seen worse.
Right? So what are you thankful for, Timmy?
I'm thankful that I got one day off.
We're thankful, too, because we're really happy to see you.
I know. I didn't think we were ever going to see Timmy again.
I got to be blunt with you, Timmy. I thought that you would be long gone by now, a victim of, you know, a workplace accident or something like that. But it's really good to see you still standing, even though you have one leg or two legs.
One.
Okay. That's what I thought.
So. Lost another one.
Yeah, right? That's it. Yeah.
One digit, one leg.
All right.
Yeah, it's a pity, you know, that the state of Iowa keeps rolling back these child labor laws and, you know, putting, you know, great kids like our poor little Timmy here in chicken factories and slaughterhouses instead of keeping them in
education.
School.
Yeah, Timmy, what's 2 + 2?
1.
Oh, man, close. It was close.
Yeah, that's what the chickens teach them.
Yeah, are the chickens teaching you math, Timmy?
Yes.
They're trying. That's got to be tough because I don't think chickens are very good at math.
Do you speak chicken? Okay, there
that's
you go.
Not yeah, happening. All right, so he's learning something.
Hold on. Well, there we go. Yeah, you know what? Actually sounded pretty good.
I mean, he wasn't faking.
No.
And lastly, folks, as you all know, we are in open enrollment season for the National Coalition of Labor, which Ken and Ed both head up. And you have till the end of January to complete your open enrollment for life insurance and some of the other benefits offered. In addition, there's some new benefits, including a new annuity program. It really is just such an asset to all our members, all of our active members in this coalition, from building trades, from public sector unions, that really just cover this area. What started as the Midwest Coalition of Labor is now the National Coalition of Labor. And thank you to all the unions and union members who are members of this. Without you, this coalition would not be growing. And a big congrats and kudos to both Ken and Ed, my partners on this show, for all the hard work they put in to make the National Coalition of Labor such a success. We will be back with more Workers' Mic on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, right before we break until next year,
man,
right?
Nice little stroll down memory lane with those clips, huh?
Yeah, that was cool. Thank you for doing that.
And how about those introductions by me? Those are
Phil.
You only got C+.
Look at Phil, like, giving himself a pat on the back.
Listen, if you don't pat yourself on the back, nobody else will,
Ken.
Thank
you,
at least for especially Phil. Around here.
That's for sure. So, New Year's plans? Anything special? I stay in.
Yeah. I'm going to see the Stranger Things final episode on New Year's Day morning. They're doing it in the theaters.
Oh, cool.
It's a Netflix show, but it's such a cult thing. Oh. I watch it with my family, so we're going to go to the theater.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's like the biggest thing, the most excitement I've had to go to a movie theater in a little while.
I'm not going
to.
Because they did the other ones on Christmas Day, right? So you had to watch the...
Yeah, they launched on Thanksgiving, on Christmas Day, and on New Year's Day.
That's fun. What about
you?
What about you?
Yeah, I think I'll probably be laying low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hurting,
for sure.
Yeah. My move is to, on New Year's Eve, get some live lobsters and some shrimp and whatnot, and then just cook lobsters.
Murderer.
yes, murderer.
They have feelings. It's been studied.
That's not true.
They have friends. They have names.
Actually, you know, if you snap a lobster in half, both sides will move for a while. I know. It cracks me up.
Prove it.
It really makes me laugh. I don't know why. Yeah. So
watch some football. That'll be fun. Oh, especially because it's on a Thursday, right? Yeah, and you have Friday's going to be light day. So Thursday could get interesting.
So next
Ken
year.
Ken versus the lobster. I'll be watching that.
So next year. I think that we're going to do a couple of things in terms of resolutions. First of all, I think we are going to start having some legal correspondence. And I think we're going to have some, you know, positive news and things like that. And then you know, let's push the envelope a little bit. Maybe have some folks on that are not union. Maybe have some politicians, even though we generally don't delve into that, but it is an election year in 26.
And
I think that I hate to say it, we tend to avoid politics on this show, right? Because our members lean all over the map, and it's it's a divisive issue. But we also call balls and strikes,
right?
And if you're against us, either you're with us or you're against us.
We're going to keep those conversations strictly to labor issues.
I think that's right.
If you've got an idea that you think is good for workers and you're a Republican, let's hear it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Or a Democrat, let's hear it. If you are trying to get reelected and you want to come up and talk about how smart you are,
no.
Just stay home.
Not the show for you.
No, yeah. I think
you're
that's
not,
right.
You're not going to steal our audience just for your own personal political.
Well, we're not going to sit here and endorse.
We're not going to waste your time, listeners.
You know, we also have I've heard of this thing where it's like, you have to give equal time, something like that.
There is
it's like FCC or something. Like if you come in, that is.
Does FCC still exist?
I don't know. I probably not.
Oh, heck yeah, it does. That's
the last remaining agency.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, you know why?
Because they're no longer independent, right?
If Trump doesn't like what you say, they go after your license.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be on the air. We got to be careful about that. We want to remain on the air.
Fine. We're good.
But I believe if a candidate requests to be on, if their opponent was on, then we'd have to let them on.
I think that's right.
Right.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. But what we do want to do is talk about, and we've talked about this in the past, the audience doesn't know this, but we reached out for Cory Booker and Josh Hawley simultaneously because they co-sponsored a bill that was worker-friendly. There was a vote on it.
Protect the American Workers Act?
Yeah.
They passed the House.
Passed the House, but it's probably dead on arrival in the
Bottom
Senate.
Up in committee?
Yeah, or something like that. But, it'd be nice to hear from both of them perhaps at the same time, not election-related, but, talking about how there can be some bipartisanship when it comes to workers' issues. Because if they keep pounding the worker, and when I say pounding the worker, I mean Republicans going after the worker and Dems doing nothing, right? That just seems to be the way it is.
Right.
If they keep doing that, the tides are going to turn and people are going to, and already started to, organize, strike, right? And that's a good thing, by the way. I mean, maybe that's what it took to wake people up, as I said, over Thanksgiving. But, let's hear some bipartisanship, right? The bipartisan infrastructure bill was absolutely massive.
Yep.
Until it wasn't. Until they started to gut it because it was Biden's idea.
Exactly.
Right? So, maybe
we're tired of getting pounded. Mm-hmm. So, let's stop the pounding.
Let's stop the pounding. Yeah. Let's start.
Workers in 2026, we're trying to stay out of pound town.
Yeah. How about this?
A pound less 2026.
How about this? Pound back. Right?
Pound back. Yeah.
Hashtag that one.
Pound back.
It's like workers pound back.
Absolutely. It's like fight back, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe we get on the offense a little bit.
There you go.
Right? I mean, look, part of the National Coalition of Labor.
Yeah.
Whole, impetus was to get on the offense, right? To do some things that are offensive. No, kidding. Not offensive.
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 Big difference.
Well, the best defense is an offense. I always learned that in organizing.
We could play defense all day long and just keep getting, paper cuts, death by a thousand cuts.
Absolutely.
Before
we get on the offense. And next year, I'm going to bring up some ideas that I have as to how to push the labor movement forward. I'm going to talk with you, the both of you, before I say something stupid.
You're talking to both of our listeners?
I'm talking to my mom and my aunt. So I'm going to, because I have some ideas.
I love them.
And I don't know how popular. I usually am an ideas man. And every once in a blue moon, I can make one of the ideas happen. Otherwise, I leave it to other people to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But I have some thoughts as to how to grow the labor movement. And we have to start thinking outside of the box. We have to do some things differently.
Yes, we do.
Because we continue. Labor continues to do the same thing over and over and over again. And what do? We shrink.
Yeah.
Right? Shrink our numbers, right? So here in the building trades, right, there are unions here that are growing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going around the country, see unions that are organizing, they're growing, they're doing different things. We can take some of those stories and go, hey, what do you think about this? Or here's an idea, right? And, stuff like that. So that's some of the what I would consider the hopes and prayers for 2026. 2026 is going to be a big year. Year of the Worker.
Let's do it.
Year of the Worker. We haven't done it. 2025, you know what? We didn't declare 25
we
the Year
that
of
the
Worker.
Problem.
And we're sorry, listeners, and all you millions of people who are struggling, but we're going to get out of it this time. 2026 is...
Year of the Worker.
The Year of the Worker.
All right. Woo! Right. Look at Ed getting... Cheers.
I love it.
Doesn't happen very often.
No, listen. All right. All right. So anyway, we wish everybody a happy and safe new year, and especially emphasis on the word safe. Be safe, right? A lot of wacky stuff going on out there with all these like mass shootings and whatnot. So just be safe. You know, be aware of what's going on.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive. Walk in pairs. Don't walk by yourself. You know, just, you know, or better yet, stay home.
Keep an eye out for those little delivery robots because they can really, you know, give you a knock in the shins.
Yeah, trip you up.
Suckers hurt.
But yeah, be safe. And we will be back next year with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.